This week, we conclude the series titled The Vital Groups with testimonies, public consecrations, and Brother Andrew Yu's responses to questions from conference attendees. This is part 4 of message 3 from a conference hosted by the church in New York City in November 2015. A link to the full audio can be found in the episode notes.
To share a little bit about how all of this centers on love, and we have to love people, and we have to love the ones we care for. And I remember that we received the sharing when I was in the full-time training about how, you know, one day you're going to come back from work, and you're going to be super tired, and you're going to just want to kick back on your sofa and do nothing, but to remember that your time is actually not your own. And so I feel like that's really been my experience and our experience the last couple of years is sometimes you just get back from work, you're running late, you've been up since like 5 a.m., and you go home, and there's like 3 college students, one girl's crying, like somebody's taking up your guest room, somebody's sleeping on your couch, and they're like, where's dinner? And you're like, what? But, you know, we do these things because we love them, right? And like, you know, do all their college matters, like, do I really so-called, like, do they really matter as much to me as they do to them? Not really. But like, we're willing to listen to them, right? Like, a lot of times people, they just want to pour out what's on their heart and they just need somebody to listen to them. And so I think that's kind of what we learned is that like, when these students, they just want to come over and talk to you, we just listen. And actually, even as you listen to them, you, a love stirs in your being to take care of them. And I feel like that's really been our experience is that caring for all these ones is just because we love them. And although it's not always enjoyable, sometimes it's very taxing, it's always very satisfying. Because actually the life within us is a growing life. And this life is meant to be propagated and it's meant to spread. So it happens very spontaneously. And so I feel like we've just had a really good experience our last couple of years on campus with this way.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My name is Jared. I'm here from New York City. And I wanted to open up kind of my experience at work and trying to take care of new ones, and I wanted to ask a question about that. So for some reason, a lot of seeking ones have come through my job, and it's the Lord's doing. I don't really have anything to do with that, but there have been a lot of people through the years. I've been there for about 3 years, and I've had a lot of people come through the meetings, get saved, get baptized, but the majority of them, actually none of them are here today. None of them are remaining. And so one of my questions is, what is a remaining fruit? There's one brother in particular that I've been meeting with for 2 years, once a week. It's been 2 years. We go through the life studies together. He loves the ministry. At some point in time, he started to meet in a denomination. He wasn't saved before that. So we still meet. We enjoy the word together. We have a very good friendship. Definitely have fellowship. I would say there's definitely some partnership too, because we pray for other coworkers. But my question is he a remaining fruit because he's not meeting on the ground? I don't know. So that's my first question.
Well, a few years back, I was sharing with something along that line, and to the leading brothers in the church in Taipei. And then I said, well, how many of you think that you can bear one remaining fruit? And then Brother Lin Hong said, okay, what is a remaining fruit? Then he defined it. He said, a remaining fruit is when somebody is just like you. So a remaining fruit is when you duplicate yourself. And so based on what you share, you still doesn't have a remaining fruit yet. But it's on the way. Don't worry.
And I guess my other question is, in that regard, my feeling has just been to just try, nourish, and feed, and hopefully the Lord opens his eyes, and not to confront him or approach it directly. But I wonder if maybe it's just because that's my disposition. I don't like to make people uncomfortable or directly ask questions. Have you ever had an experience of people who you wanted to meet on the ground and they eventually did, or maybe they didn't? Can you have any part in that? Is there anything I can do to help with that, or is that just completely, you just pray for that and leave it in the Lord's hands?
Well, relationships are not always comfortable. And when you move from one relationship to another, like for example, you've been shepherding somebody for all the time, and you've been milking him, and you've been pampering him, and suddenly you need to perfect him, and you say, let's get on with the basic lessons of the truth, and let's get on with it together. Sometimes it's very hard for some of the saints to do that, because they don't want to get into a advancement of their relationship. But suppose you beget a baby, and then of course you don't demand anything on them in the first 3 years. But then the first time you say, hey, you don't go to potty in the right way, and you got to go to potty in the right way. Well, is that putting a demand on him? Yes, it is. But he has to grow. And that takes exercise. And so any advance to bring people on is an exercise. Years ago, there were some people that I was taking care of, and then I suggest that we should do some serious things in the time we get together. And it's a challenge. And they like to come and rap and just talk whatever they want to talk about. Then if you want to say, I want to get into a more serious and directional relationship, well, you got to exercise faith. And then I did it, and they said, sure, let's do it. You see.
My name is Marvin Jean-Jacques. I meet here at the church in New York City. And this is kind of a follow-up to Jared's question. So Jared and I were laboring together with some of the saints in our small group, and really working to try and transition all these ones, the fruit that were from his workplace, into the church life. And we found that it was the proportions, there was just too many sisters to take care of for two single brothers. So that was the practical situation. I know it sounds funny, but that's what was going on, right? So we might have had this one brother, and then there's like five or six sisters that are showing up to the meetings also. So when you're talking about duplication, or just that one-on-one shepherding that's necessary, how do you instill your burden into others, right? Because we know we couldn't really take care of them, and they wanted these kind of relationships, but that's not something Jared or I could have provided, right? So just going forward, and as you're mentioning, for these next 5 years, like, what is it that you can do to foster this among your small group, or among the people you're laboring with?
You got enough people to work on in your own sex, to work on people of the other sex, and in general work on people of your own sex and same gender, and you know, unless you want to marry him. Then that's a different relationship.
Yeah, that's not what we were talking about. Okay. Okay.
My name is Sam, and for the last 13 years, I've been meeting regularly in the church in New York City. And probably 13 years ago, I was a seat warmer. And it's okay to be a seat warmer. And then 12 years ago, the church bought a meeting hall in Midtown Manhattan. And this meeting hall was really a free will offering of the saints. And many saints poured out, and even I heard sisters sold their wedding rings to buy this hall.
Amen.
And I remember being there the first Lord's Day, the first week, and there were a lot of the older saints there with us, and having the Lord's table. And then it may have been the second week, and then the older ones stopped coming, and they just left us there. And I felt like, what do we do? And, you know, I was with a lot of other brothers, you know, we were the young adults at that time. You felt like, wow, the church just bought us a meeting hall, and just, you know, just telling us to have the church life. And I just want to testify that that was the most wonderful thing in my life. Amen. I just want to show my appreciation for the church.
Amen.
You know, this is the Lord's possession. But yet, when we receive it, it becomes our talent.
Amen.
This is the most wonderful things for us to receive of God's possession, right? The matter of the truth, the gospel, the saints, and the church. This shouldn't just remain in the Lord's hands, but we should receive. And this is something of our heart. If we don't have a heart, then it just remains the Lord's possessions.
Amen.
And then the Lord can't use it. So I just want to testify, just as the brother said, you know, the next generation, always there's more opportunities than ones before. And I feel now there's so much more opportunity, but we have to see, you know, this phrase, Princess Lucia, just rings through my... We have to remember the goal. We can't forget God's goal. It's God's will. And if we see God's will, then we see that God has a need. So I just want to consecrate myself again for the next 5 years. You know, I appreciate all the specific consecrations, but I also appreciated this blank check consecration. So Lord, I just want to give myself to you. Lord, whatever you need. Lord, I want to give myself for your need. Lord, I love you. Lord, I give myself to you. I give my family to you. I give my house to you. I give my church life to you. I love you, Lord.
Amen.
Hi, Andy, now from the church in New York City. Praise the Lord. Before I came to New York City, for the past, I would say, 5 to 6 years, I was praying with another brother almost weekly, actually bi-weekly, every two times a week. So I was actually a product of discipleship. This brother took me up and he started praying with me, and we just prayed and prayed and prayed. So for 5 years, we bared the burdens of the church where I was at, and we just prayed for everything. When I moved to New York, I immediately felt the sense that I did not have someone to pray with. So I asked the Lord, Lord, give me someone, please, to pray with. He gave me a name in the beginning, but I ignored it mostly because I was still transitioning. I felt, you know, maybe I'll figure it out somehow. But I started developing this friend, a couple friends in the meetings here, started talking to the brothers, then sharing with them some stuff. And then eventually the Lord gave me an urge. Brothers, you need to find a brother to pray with. I have so much to do here. You need to pray with someone. So, you know, one day I just texted a brother, and for the past couple of weeks we've been praying together, and it's been wonderful. But surprisingly, what came out of that was not just one person, just us praying. All of a sudden, the Lord put a lot of these young people at the school I attend on my heart.
Amen.
Oh, it's so sweet. I'll tell you. What's really interesting is the whole matter of initiative mixed with vital groups is a real thing. You know, taking the first step to say, Lord, who do I pray with? And then he gives me someone to pray with. And I said, amen, I'll pray with this one. And then the next says, Lord, give me someone to pray for. And then he said, look at these ones. And I said, amen, I'll pray for these ones. And then I started joining myself to these brothers. You know, right now, and it's never happened before, Brother Roger was telling me earlier, never before at Columbia has there ever been a group of students like this. So many young people at the same time with a heart for the campus. I'll say, at Columbia right now, we have a prayer group. That's amazing. And it's just because some of us just took the initiative to go to the Lord and pray. To ask the Lord, Lord, give us something to pray for and give us one another to pray with. Hopefully, the Lord will really bring up a discipleship here. You know, I actually appreciate Dean's consecration earlier. He's one of the ones who prays with me. And I pray that there is something emulated in him for the next 4 to 5 years. He produces much the same way, many more who will come. You know, it's really cool because he's a freshman, and he brings all these other freshmen to the meetings. These kids don't even know that they're about to get infused with the triune God.
Amen.
They are going to receive Christ. Amen. Hallelujah!
My name is Neo, and her name is Lee. We meet in church in Brooklyn. We meet in church in New York City in Brooklyn.
Amen. We haven't renewed our consecration since our wedding 2 years ago together. Yeah. So we want to use this opportunity to renew our consecration. Yeah. So, Lord, we just want to consecrate our family to you once again. Amen. Oh, Lord, do go further in us. Amen. Oh, Lord, we even make our home open even wider, even open up everything in our home. Amen. Oh, Lord, we consecrate our next 5 years to you. Amen. Oh, for this friendship, fellowship, partnership, discipleship, to establish vital relationships in our district, between our family and other saints. Oh, Lord, I just want to even specifically consecrate our finance to you, and that we won't be bothered by the anxiety of life, but we just store our treasure in heaven, that our heart will be there.
Amen. Well, we have recently her parents moved in from China to, you know, where we are, and it has been a challenge due to the language barrier, cultural barrier. But I think it's right now is an opportunity to actually give that to the Lord too.
Amen.
Amen.
Because they need to be saved, and the whole house needs to be saved.
Amen.
Lord, we give ourselves to you.
Amen.
For Lee's parents.
Amen.
Lord, that they also enter into what we are enjoying.
Amen.
Enter into the salvation that you have given us.
Amen.
And really enter into the body life that you desire.
Amen.
Lord, gain our family as a whole.
Amen.
Lord, give you the next year, 2016, to you.
Amen.
That you gain what you're after in this family.
Amen.
We meet with the church in New York City. I'd like to just give a short testimony and our consecration. For many years, I saw the vital groups as a doctrine, a teaching, and a bunch of how-tos. But in the last 5 years in our church life in L.A., I really began to experience, maybe not with the words, but to realize that the vital group is a relationship. Not only with the triune God, but also with the saints around us. And we entered into a prayer life and a laboring together that became the real joy and satisfaction of our church life. In the last 5 years, I realized the church life was not just a bunch of burdens and meetings and responsibilities and services, but it really became a joy because of our relationship with the saints and with the fruit that we were bearing. So, my wife and I, we would like to consecrate ourselves, our family, our home, and our relationships and our time to be a part of this vital group living, God-man living, to bear fruit for his building.
Amen. Amen. I just echo Israel. Our small group experience went through this. It was not just friendships, developed into fellowship, partnership, discipleship. Oftentimes, we weren't able to labor directly and feed those new ones or students because we're not on campus, but we opened our home.
Right.
We fed them. They played with our children, and we provided that aspect of the church life. And many times they didn't come to the Lord's Day. They only came to our Friday night meeting, and eventually, by their senior year of college, they were remaining fruit. And we just consecrate ourselves again. We moved here in July, and my parents were married here. They consecrated their marriage life here at this meeting hall. They are now with the Lord. Israel and I got married here 12 years ago. We consecrated our marriage life then. Now we're back. We would just like to consecrate our lives again to the Lord, our family, and our home.
The Lord touched me to come up when Sam came up about 20 people ago. But I'm a little slow in responding to the Lord, so here I am. He already consecrated our family, so I'm part of this family, and I want to follow my husband's consecration. And I feel like actually not just my husband, but my parents consecrated themselves to the Lord. And I know that because of them, I'm also here. My mother went to be with the Lord this summer. And I feel like I have to, I just thank the Lord that I had a mother and a father who were consecrated to the Lord. And they, you know, and now we have four kids, and I feel like our, the brother was sharing about not just what you say to them, but your living. And this is how we are we have to be with people. If your living talks of the Lord, it's easy to bring people to the Lord. If we're living two lives, it's very difficult. You try to preach the gospel to someone, they look at you like you have three heads, because where is this coming from? But if we love the Lord, our living should be one. There should be one living, whether we're working, whether we're at home with kids, whether at school, whether we're looking for jobs, whether you're retired, it doesn't matter. If you love the Lord, there's people around you. There's people around you that can be gained. And they want to be gained because they're attracted to the same Lord that you're attracted to. Praise the Lord. He loves us. We love Him.
Amen.
He's our friend first and then our Savior.
Amen.
So may those relationships around us be, you know, we have to care for those relationships so that we, the Lord can gain them just like He gained us.
Amen.
Lord, seal every consecration.
Amen.
We thank You, Lord,
Amen.
For each of these consecrations.
Amen.
We especially pray for all these families.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, gain them.
Amen.
As they give the next 5 years to You.
Amen.
Lord, honor this consecration.
Amen.
Answer these prayers.
Amen.
That You could have a way to move on.
Amen.
In New York City.
Amen.
To be propagated.
Amen.
Even all over this metropolitan area.
Amen.
Lord, grow.
Amen.
Lord, spread.
Amen.
We give ourselves to You.
Amen.
We all give ourselves to You.
Amen.
For these next 5 years.
Amen.
Have a way in all of us.
Amen.
That You might have a way on this earth. We praise You.
Amen.
We give You the rest of this day.
Amen.
We tell You we're still open.
Amen.
Keep speaking.
Amen.
Speak more tonight, Lord.
Amen.
We love You, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @LivingToHim.